It's a pleasure meeting you, Peter Chambers, and thanks for joining us here at The Last Post. Mate, I know bugger all about MND and motor neuron disease. I'm just wondering, what's your story and what can you tell us about what's happening?
Yeah, look, I'm same as you, Greg. I knew bugger all about it as well. I suppose in Melbourne, you might be a little bit different in the rest of the country, but we're very AFL-centric here. So we had Neil Danaher on starting a massive cause, which is just wonderful in terms of raising awareness of the disease and doing a hell of a lot for raising money for research. But I think without Neil, in a Melbourne environment, I don't think we'd know too much about it as well.
And Neil contracted motor neuron disease, 10 years ago or something?
I think 7 or 8 from what I understand, yeah.
He's done remarkably well.
Oh, it's extraordinary what he's done. Absolutely extraordinary. So, yeah, I think I'm being the same camp as you, mate, that I wouldn't have known too much about it prior to. My story is, I suppose with hindsight, this is very much a hindsight thing. My first symptoms, probably as early as 2016, just little things. My arms were starting to get a bit weak and my hands were starting to get a bit weak. Right on cue. Sorry.
Isn't that wonderful? But, it gives us some reality. That's fine.
Yeah, so, exactly. So, yeah, I knew that. Anyway.
We're not at a bar or coffee shop. We're at home, so that's wonderful. So continue.
Right, yeah. They've gone for a walk, so hopefully we won't be interrupted again.
Okay.
Sorry. So 2016 started getting these symptoms and a little feeling something was wrong. So I ended up having some spinal surgery in 2018. That was decompress the spine and all sorts of things, which, was in theory supposed to be the answer. It turned out it wasn't, and I actually regressed as a consequence of that surgery to the point where I lost the use of, most of the use of my right arm from that point on. And then spent a pretty agonizing 18 months or so. Unfortunately, with it's one of those diseases where you don't identify it. It's a process of exclusion,
right,
where you look under every rock that you can look under, and when there's no more rocks, you're left with MND.
Right.
Which, that makes it tough because that would have been an 18-month process to, and that's not inconsistent, depending on the stage that you're at. It's not inconsistent to have that sort of time lag before you get diagnosed. So, So the version I've got is it's called flail arm, which, as the name suggests, is attacking my arms. It's the nerve cells basically die and they support the muscles, and it really just kills the muscles. So my version is flail arm, and it's seen as a slow progression. This thing I've heard cases where it can take you in months. And you see a lot of cases that are a lot worse than what I am at the moment. So, that's the sort of very brief background there.
That's all right. And thank you, Peter, for sharing that with us. And I was just wondering, what was your life like before, and what were you doing when this onset, when you discovered this?
Yeah, so I was, I've had a career in banking. So I'm 59, Greg. Had a career in banking, had some pretty senior roles and doing some good things. And it's an industry I enjoyed. Not the most exciting industry going around and not a conversation starter at a barbecue, but I've moved on from that. Avoid the banker over there. I had a good life then. I finished work in probably early-ish in 2019. I hadn't been diagnosed at that stage, but I just, the fatigue, that one of the factors of MND is the fatigue just really gets you. I got to the point where I couldn't, if I did that process in the morning of getting up, having a shower, having a shave, getting dressed, having breakfast, and I'm back to bed at that point. I've got no energy left at all. So I sort of dragged myself into work and, pretending to work for 3 or 4 hours and going home again. So we called it quits at that point. And then it was another 6 months or so. It was the end of 2019 before I was actually diagnosed. So still had that period of not knowing, and that was a really difficult period to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
It was always sort of in the background, but until such time as, those three little letters were mentioned, it wasn't MND. So, still hit pretty hard when, when I was diagnosed finally. So and then that was confirmed in early 2020. And of course, 2020 was a cracking year, wasn't it?
We had a
barrel of laughs last year.
Geez, I tell you what, Peter, it's been one thing after another for everyone, and you've been dealing brilliantly with this from all accords. Where has the strength come from, and who has been assistance to you in this journey?
Yeah, it's a good question. So much of it comes from, from within. A little bit of a segue into what I'm doing at the moment, but I found myself, I started with a podcast, would have been late last year. Mm. And really a few things started to snowball from there. And also I asked myself, what sort of legacy I wanted to leave. And I wanted to do capture something on video. I wanted to sort of capture moments on video. And so I've met a terrific videographer from there. And so we're just, capturing moments, and she's editing, and we've started a YouTube channel. So that's been a wonderful little ride, and I've really loved it. So that's become sort of my crusade, if that's the right word. That's all my method of. So I found myself by accident, I think, as becoming a bit of an advocate for promotion of the disease and just talking about it. And being someone, again, I'm in the fortunate position of I can still, as you can obviously hear and see, I'm living a reasonably normal lifestyle. I've pretty much lost the use of my arms now. I'm very limited in what I can do. And I get fatigued and whatever, but I've adapted my lifestyle around that. So, I do one thing a day only, and that's my diary. And if you want a second thing in the diary, you have to find another spot.
Yes.
That sort of things help. So it's kind of found me rather than me going looking for it. But once I found something that was, all the important things, mentally stimulating, meant I had something to do with my life.
Yes.
And really it's been then, and these are, I'm not a sort of guy who goes around blowing his own trumpet, but, you start to hear, I heard your podcast and gee, it was fantastic. And, you're so inspiring and whatever. And, you hear people saying that sort of stuff and you go, hang on a minute, this is actually, I didn't start this to move people or whatever, but it's happening. So, so that kind of, again, that, that lit the fuse a little bit.
Yes.
The obvious support, is family, and I've got, lovely, wonderful, supportive wife who's been terrific in supporting me and everything I've been doing. And, 22-year-old twin boys who, they've adapted really well to our environment, and they've had to deal with the COVID thing of, being young and sort of their life being put on hold and all that sort of thing. So I think, they're learning things as well about themselves.
My wife died of pancreatic cancer in 2017. So you have blessings, and you're so lucky to have a loving wife, and it's a beautiful thing. And twins, I'm a twin also, Peter, so I can relate to that.
There you go.
So you've been doing things through this that you may not have done before, particularly, the YouTube channel, et cetera, that you've just spoken about. And along the way, you've learned more things about yourself, I guess.
Oh, look, absolutely. Absolutely. I've met people, I've been exposed to different things and different ways of thinking. You get in your life is what it is, and you get a fairly structured way of thinking and doing things. And, and all of a sudden, I've had to think differently about things. I've become a bit more creative with the way I think and whatever. So it's a bit of a running joke inside the family that, I've never been busier. My wife's now, she runs her own business, and she's wound that back a fair bit, but she's sort of, become my PA, which is...
isn't that lovely?
it is. And everything I do now, I put a calendar note in my phone and copy her in and whatever else. So she can work out her lifestyle around what I'm doing and whatever. So, I'll give you a classic little example. I'm actually on a trial at the moment. There's only four cases in the world where this has happened, but it's putting a stent in your brain. The stent acts as a brain computer interface to help with communication.
Right.
So I'm currently on this trial and in the middle of the phase of, sorry, there's my phone going. So happening here. Yeah, and I've killed that.
Yep.
I'm currently in this screening phase. But when I was approached by a neurologist I was seeing, and, you know, do you want to do this? I mean, you know, you jump out of your skin at that stage. To be at the forefront of technology that's absolutely cutting edge and it's only being done in Melbourne and those sorts of things, you go, you know, you shake your head. So it's exciting. You know, I'd trade my health in a heartbeat for, for, you know, to be back to my normal life as it was 2 or 3 years ago. But, you know, I'm kind of embracing, I'm embracing what this has thrown at me. Mm-hmm. I don't think that there's any other way to do it because, I completely understand and, you know, there's so much mental health going around now and it's only because we know about it more. I mean, it was probably same amount many years ago, but, you know, we're able to identify it and deal with it and whatever else. And, and I completely would understand where someone in my situation, you know, wouldn't be able to find the, you know, the get up and go to be able to do it. And as I say, none of this is by design. It's just sort of, you know, followed me around and caught up with me and I'm on that train now. So, you know, it's a good ride and why the hell wouldn't I enjoy, you know, what, unfortunately, you know, I've got a bit of a time frame. You know, I'm same as everyone else, you know, we're all dying. Just in case of, I, you know, probably got a bit more definition around, you know, the how and the why than most.
And so, so Peter, I'm thinking, obviously, your ability to become creative, and these are extensions of who you were anyhow, but you probably hadn't discovered that, I don't know, but this is, what would your message be to others that are going through the MND experience, motor neuron disease experience?
Yeah, it's a really hard one because, you know, because of this inevitability about you know, the mortality side of it, I actually was fortunate enough to speak last week. There's I've been on a committee to I suppose work on the communication process out of MND Australia, and that includes revamping the website and whatever else. So I was the guy who was, you know, gave a user's experience in terms of you know, what is useful on the website and those sorts of things. So I was lucky enough, had the launch last week, and I was lucky enough to go to Canberra to speak in front of a few senators and the like to launch the website and a couple of other initiatives hanging off that. But what I spoke about there was about hope. The whole MND community, unfortunately, and I hate saying this, but, you know, it's geared to the fact that this is an incurable disease. So there's that inevitability about it. And so you've got this whole structure, this whole infrastructure is around supporting you until that inevitability arrives. And that's really tough to take, right? There's, you know, you spend your whole life going to doctors and having a cure for things, or, you know, you hurt your knee, you hurt your whatever, you know, and someone will fix it for you.
You bounce back.
Yeah, exactly. So, but there's no bouncing back with this. And so my theme was about hope, about, you know, I think this community that has MND, the families, the carers, the whole network, I really think we, you know, there's that hope aspect to it. And there's a number of things I've seen, which I've lived, that, you know, there's a lot of gaps in the system. You know, I know there's a lot of trials going on, but I think we need to be at the forefront of being more positive and more proactive about those trials to, you know, to try and get more happening in that regard so that the research increases. So I know, you know, I think I speak for a lot of people, that a lot of people would be putting their hand up to be the subject of a trial, you know, if, but I think that lack of proactivity around that sort of stuff is, you know, makes it tougher. Well, it did for me anyway. Again, I don't know if I'm speaking on behalf of others, but, I just found, you know, I had to go searching for trials. Rather than, you know, I'd like to put someone to put a suite in of trials in front of me and saying, well, you're perfect for X, Y, and Z. So, you know, would you consider those? But it was me asking. I had to ask the question a lot in order to, you know, to see if there's any trials that suited me.
So basically,
and that's where the hope. That's where the hope comes in, right? That's where, you know, we are giving people down the track who will contract this. We are offering them hope, and that's probably the biggest one. I'd like to change. I'd like to sort of give people hope, and I don't know how you do that. Again, it's incurable. So give people hope around something that, you know, ultimately, you know, has no or offers no hope. Mm. It's a really tough one. I understand that, but I just think if you know if you change that mindset a little bit, you know, it'll. I think it has the ability to change things up.
Yes. Well said, Peter. And more attention, I guess, which we'll provide through podcast, obviously, with this to the general public to become, as you said, it will strike others. It could strike anyone, and for people to be aware that research into this is essential to provide more hope for those that will contract it, Peter.
Look, absolutely. I mean, I'm not privy to the amount of research goes on. I'm certain it's an enormous amount. You know, webinars pop up, and you know, I sort of follow groups on Twitter and those sorts of things, so you sort of see across the globe what's happening and whatever. So I'm certain, absolutely certain, that there's a whole lot of work going on behind the scenes in terms of that research and whatever else. And, you know, I don't have a scientific bone in my body, Greg, but so I'm the wrong bloke to ask, but don't ask for the COVID vaccine from me.
So what we'll do, I think probably if we can get some people, Peter, interested in your wonderful blogs and your YouTube channel, then certainly we've done a job there, I guess, and to raise awareness and to make sure that the battle keeps going and to follow your journey, because it's one that affects us all.
Yeah, well, that'd be great. I mean, if we could sort of push it that way as well. What I'm trying to do, Greg, at the moment is I'm trying to just get a message out once a week and put it on YouTube. So it's been pretty good so far. Getting a few watches and subscribers and the like. So
when's your next one due?
It should be Friday. It should be Friday. Okay. We're trying to get them out on a Friday night. You know, this is this is outside of my sphere of expertise. But you know, there's a certain time and place and all that sort of stuff to release YouTube clips. So so Fridays are pretty popular apparently. So but again, you know, here am I, a 59-year-old man pretending to know about technology.
Well, you're a young buck, really, and that's beautiful.
Yeah, well, I'll take that.
No, you're a young buck. It's beautiful, and we wish you continued success in what you're doing and how you're getting out to the Australian public and indeed the world. And we honour you, and we think that you're a magnificent example of what can be done in situations that are less than favourable. So we send our love and blessings, and we know that. We will follow you, and we'll get a few more people to watch you and to listen to you, Peter. Thank you very much.
That'd be fabulous, Greg. I really really appreciate the opportunity and the platform you provide, because you know, without this sort of thing, we don't have the opportunity to talk about it. When, you know, and this is a case of using social media and all those sort of things for good instead of evil, which is a nice surprise.
Thank you once again, Peter.